Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, the invigorating podcast that's exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
All right, so Tracy, I have to be honest. When I was reviewing the topic of today's show, I was like, oh my gosh, is she going to get me into tapping into my feminine side? How is this going to go? The beauty is in the beginning. And I'm picturing, you know, the black and white, the outdoor scene, Brad Pitt in a bottle of perfume. You know the commercials, right? Here, let me bring up the appropriate music. Here we go.
Parfum de toilette. The beauty is in the beginning.
Okay, so you're doing the movie trailer. I think that these radio shows are ultimately going to make a great movie one day, so.
It's me, Russ Reba, with Tracy DeForge, your hosts for the Journey to There radio show. Log on to journeytothere.com. This is the intersection between personal and business growth, but sometimes we have to throw a little beauty into the show.
I have lost a lot of appreciation for really how the beautiful part of beginning anything is lost at times, because either you're so excited or you're beginning something maybe because you want to, maybe it's because it was a life change that was created for you, and you lose touch with how wonderful the beginnings of anything could be, because we're always just pushing towards the outcome and wanting to see what the end of the story is and not really stay in where the beginning is and how so precious that time can be.
Kind of like those people that get into the first chapter of a book and then they scooch on to the end to see what's happening.
Yes, and I was never one of those people. I am proud to say I always love surprises and I do not like to read the last chapter of the book.
Well, so. They all die at the end, so.
Well, this is probably why this subject is so important to me, but really, I began Journey to There as a whole purpose-driven explanation of really the intersection between personal and business growth. And what I meant by that was that a lot of people end up in the same place in their lives. Sometimes it's personal places and sometimes it's places in their business where they get stuck and end up repeating these same patterns. And most often people don't take into consideration that it could be some of the things that are happening in their personal life that are affecting their business life and vice versa.
Well, it's not could be, because I can tell you, you know, sitting here right now that, for instance, I could be making tons more income if I didn't, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to give it a little caveat, if I didn't spend so much time with my family, I'd be making a lot more income. Now, with that said, this is how I'm choosing to live my personal life intertwined with my career, because there are so many people that are so focused on the income that comes into the household that something is neglected. There's always a sacrifice, and a lot of times we don't realize that until it's too late. And when I say it's too late, I'm not talking about anything gruesome or gory. I'm talking about too late, like, oh my gosh, my son is going to college now, and where did all the time go?
Absolutely. I mean, I think of that. What was that song that was it? Cat Stevens, who the Cats in the Cradle.
Oh, or yeah.
I'm not sure who.
Cats in the Cradle. That's Harry Chapin.
Oh, see, I knew you would know.
Did we not work together in radio?
Well, you were the one doing that part. Well, I just want to clarify something for myself, because as long as we've known each other, I've never actually really known for certain that the reason you started your business, Audio Menu, was because you had your first child. Did I assume that, or is that actually one of the pathways that you took?
I was working, I was in radio, as we've said, for many years, and it got a little too political. And what happened was I got involved in marketing and advertising. And I was a creative director for a marketing company, a pretty large one. And what happened was my wife got pregnant, and so many things kicked in. And we got pregnant late into our marriage, and so many things kicked in and started swirling around in my head. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a father. And there were things that hit me as I want to make sure that the things that I missed out on or that I feel that I missed out on when I was growing up and when I was a child, I don't want this child to experience that. So what I went to an extreme and I quit my job and I said, I'm going to be a stay at home dad. I'm still going to do my best to bring in income. I'm fortunate enough to have the type of experience where I can work from home. And this was several years ago, probably almost a decade ago. And I said, I'm going to be a stay at home dad and I'll start my own company. And when I'm not, you know, bottle feeding the kid and when I'm not reading him to sleep, I'll do some work. And I didn't get a lot of work done, but you know what? The payoff was phenomenal. And, you know, it's almost a decade later, and the outcome of this child seems so much better than it could have been, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Well, I've met him and he's precious.
Well, and thank you.
So the thing I want to say back to that, which is basically my counterpoint, is that my life is the opposite. So I, on the other hand, always thought that it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when that I would eventually have children. I'd always wanted to. There was never a question about that. But I really underestimated the whole biological clock issue that women face. And as a result of that, I was very career driven and I've started and run multiple businesses, all of them successfully. And yes, I mean, made mistakes, rebounded from mistakes, grown higher as a result of learning those lessons, all the while thinking that it was going to be, like I said, a matter of if, not a matter of when. So I put my career path in front of that decision. So
let me interrupt you here. Among the mistakes that you feel you made, and everybody, it's essential that everybody makes mistakes, but among the mistakes, do you feel that not having children or getting family focused at the time, do you feel that that is one of your mistakes?
You know, I'm not going to call it a mistake, although, you know, I've definitely experienced some grief around the reality when I did, you know, have to fully accept that that wasn't going to be an issue for me to have a biological child. I will say this, and I think this is one of the major catalysts that led me to this whole concept of journey to there. And that is that certain choices were put in front of me over the last 20 years that I could have made a different choice. I will never know exactly, obviously, what that choice would have been, but I do not think it was a mistake.
I'm going to throw this at you. I would say definitely not a mistake because I have seen how successful you have been over the decades as a businesswoman, as an entrepreneur, and I feel that, you know, it is one of those things, and I said it, we are the extreme. I sacrificed massive opportunities for income for being hyper focused on family, where you were the opposite. And I will tell you this, I said I started later in life with children. However, I could tell you right now that if I had kids in my 20s or early 30s, I would not have been the father that I've had the luxury to be to what now is two children. It would have been a totally different family dynamic. It obviously, you know, the kids may have been two different kids, you know, 10 years, 15 years prior. So imagine if you did have the children because, you know, maybe it was the thing to do. You would have
checking it off a list.
Exactly. You would have had to sacrifice a massive amount of effort that you did put into your career. And all in all, you have to go through life and you have to be happy. And I'll go into it just a little bit, or we can talk about it later or in another episode. But I've got many people I could tell you about who are extremely successful and now are in their, you know, maybe 40s, 50s, even 60s that are just unhappy and unfulfilled. Are you fulfilled?
I am.
And that's key.
I am. And then I hate when someone says I am and then they followed up with the word but. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say I am. And in addition to that, what I like to take inside my heart if I ever have any questions or thoughtful regrets, if you will, is that I have chosen not just a career, because in a lot of ways it could come across as me being selfish and choosing a whatever X number figure career in front of the things that in all I believe really matter, which are putting family first. However, I have chosen a purpose-driven career. And I think that that is a huge difference. It is for me and my mindset, because I make a difference in people's lives with what I do. No, I'm not a life-saving surgeon or, another type of like a firefighter or something that actually literally saves lives, because I have so much respect for people that do that. But what I do is make a difference in people's lives. And I only choose clients, projects, and I have the luxury of that. But also, even when it wasn't so luxurious, I still made those choices because I have to feel like that what I'm contributing is making an impact either on one person or on, in cases with some of the work that I do with larger corporations, could make an impact on a total shift of how that company touches people's lives. And with that being said, that makes a difference to me. And I think that's what I hang my hat on if I ever do think about it. But I've had a lot of beginnings. I mean, I've had a lot of reinventions. I'm a lot like Madonna with my career.
Listen, everybody has beginnings every day. They just don't realize it. And just backtracking a little bit, you had mentioned the ideal of family first. Where family first works for me, it doesn't work for everybody, and not everybody can function or go through life with that. And if everybody was like that, then our entire world would be a different world. We wouldn't have the innovations that we have, because you think of somebody like Steve Jobs. If he had the ideal of family first, and I'm not saying he wasn't a good family man, I don't know, I have seen some documentaries and everything, but if he didn't put the time and the effort into his baby, which was Apple, we wouldn't have the innovations that we have today that have changed the world. So what works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another. My whole thing is, don't have regrets. And if you do have regrets, or if you think you have regrets, then something needs to change, and something needs to change now.
Which is exactly why I often use the phrase, start where you are, begin today.
Exactly. So, I agree.
And I don't know. Have you seen the movie that just recently it came out over the holidays called Joy?
Okay. I'm going to go back to the fact that I have two small young boys.
And movie dates aren't happening.
I have seen quite a few animated movies. If it's animated, yes, I've probably seen it, but I don't. The only Joy I remember is the character that was in Inside Out.
I love those animated movies, and I get a chance to see them with my niece and nephew. So
there you go.
7 and 9. So I get to experience that part.
I did not see the movie Joy.
Well, and the reality of it is that this movie more than likely spoke to every female out there who's either had an idea, aspired to start a business, wanted to be the next big thing, wanted to create something as significant as Steve Jobs did. And it the whole entire movie is, it's inspired by true events, but the whole entire movie is about a woman who did ultimately launch her invention. But the part that I want to talk about it today is that inside that movie, yes, she had the idea, and yes, she had obstacles that we all could predict: patent issues, trademark issues, cost, cash flow issues, all those things that most often entrepreneurs in general, they experience that. But the thing that I thought was the most interesting in this whole theory that I have about business and personal and how your personal life can affect your business and vice versa is that fundamentally, when she thought back on the reason that she never did the other inventions that she had created was because she got shut down when she was about 10 years old because her parents got divorced and she lost like all faith in creating and building and doing things. And it just completely took her life in a whole nother direction until she had a conversation with her grandmother that said, no, you don't have the whole rest of your life, but you have a large part of your life left. And that spoke to me so much because there are so many people out there who think because they didn't do it when they were in their 20s, in Silicon Valley or anywhere for that matter, that they can't do it now. And that is just so not the case. So many people have become huge successes that started later in life.
Absolutely. You know, I always say you have the rest of your life ahead of you. Nobody knows how much time they have in the rest of their life. And you mentioned so many people started, their careers, what they may be now at a later time in their life. One example that I always, revert to is Danny Aiello. I'm not sure if you know who he is. He is an actor, and he didn't start acting, from what I understand, until he was in his 40s. If you know who he is, you'll, oh yeah, I know that guy. But regardless, he is a very successful actor, and where actors, a lot of them are starting, in their teens, in their 20s. Here's somebody who didn't start his quote unquote career until his 40s. It's never too late to start. Never. You have the rest of your life ahead of you.
So what do you think is the one thing that keeps people from beginning?
Fear.
Oh, that's a good answer. I think that is absolutely true. So maybe I have a fear-based theory, which is that I believe that it is self-sabotage, because I think that that comes and derives out of fear. And again, I'm only speaking for myself. I am one of those people actually who have invented things and then seen them actually become to the market and actually be created by another person. And I cannot tell you how frustrating that was for about the first 3 or 4 times I saw it happen. And I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm serious. Like the back button on the fax machine, you wouldn't think I would have thought about that.
Really?
But I thought about it long before anybody ever created the back button on a fax machine.
See, and for me, it was the Q-tip, but I was afraid everybody was going to stick it in their ear.
And then now they do. So the sabotage thing is an interesting concept because it is so devious and manipulative that most times you don't even notice that you're doing it because it appears in ways of procrastination. It appears in ways of telling yourself that it's not possible and then creating a scenario all around you that makes it not possible. There's so many elements of sabotage that unless you recognize them, then they will continuously reappear and they will be the force that holds you back. And embracing that sabotage is then, in my opinion, where the fear really starts, because then you can't really talk yourself out of it anymore. You might really believe that the procrastination was really real, or you might really believe the stories that you're telling yourself that are what holding you back. And then when you have awareness around that, you absolutely can't deny it anymore because you know your own truth and the fear kicks in.
Right.
And it just creates this whole circular pattern again that will keep repeating itself throughout decisions that you make unless you choose a different way to make those decisions.
That goes back to we are our own worst enemy.
Absolutely. Yes. And a lot of times people just accept that. They'll just say, well, I'm just my own worst enemy. It's just not meant to happen. And that's really not necessarily two sentences that should be combined together. if again, my opinion, but because you're your own worst enemy does not mean that it's not meant to happen. It just means that you're not making it happen right now.
You know, it kind of reminds me of, recently we lost an amazing artist, Glenn Frey. And,
yes.
He had that quote from the song Already Gone. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh my gosh, I do. Please do not tell me this is one of your favorite quotes.
Well, I have so many favorite quotes. One of my favorite quotes, believe it or not, is why be what you are when you can be what you can be, which also ties into what you're talking about. But so oftentimes we live our lives in chains and we never even know we have the key.
Yes, I actually should have that monogrammed on my apparel. I should get a t-shirt made. I should put it on my mirror so that every time I look in it, I see that coming back at me. And there are times in my life, many times in my life for different reasons, that that quote has been very symbolic to me. The thing that I'm the most grateful about it is that for me, I would experience that quote and then I would get to the other side, because I'm one of those tenacious people that will find the key and unlock it. But I have a lot of respect for those people who continue to be locked up in their own chains. It's,
all right, now,
it's a really tough place to be.
I'm gonna ask you for a little bit of advice from the other side of your coin, where because everything you say makes absolute sense. Now, what if you have somebody that's running a business, for instance, myself,
right,
and you are juggling two kids in baseball? I coach. I'm very involved with them playing soccer, and I've got a wife that works, so I'm the one that's, you know, taking them back and forth from school. So as far as knowing that we have the key but just don't have time to pull it out of our pocket and stick it in the lock type of thing, what's your advice?
Well, first of all, I can honestly say, in the 10 years of working with primarily women entrepreneurs, and obviously the story is not exclusive just to women entrepreneurs, based on the story that you just told makes that more factual than anything. But I can honestly tell you that a version of that story in some capacity has been revealed to me just about every time that I started working with someone who wanted to start their business or take their business to the next level. And what I go to, my default question, response, and direction I take the conversation in at that time is, let's talk about the overwhelm. Because usually it's the overwhelm that is the paralysis. So at this point, you may have moved beyond the fear, but then you're literally, these are real life situations. Everything that you just described are real life situations.
And I'll admit that I'm not the common dad, because even now, in 2016, I know that it's going to be a large majority of women that do experience what I experience as far as the juggling and trying to, create something with a career. And it's just, you know, you've got to have time to eat, sleep. You have to have time to do the normal everyday things on top of building a business and on top of raising a family.
Well, and just having a quality of life. I mean, your scenario and a lot of entrepreneur scenarios are driven around the scenario that you outlined, but that really applies. I always use this phrase, and I know it'll come up in more episodes, but I always use this phrase, the story is the same, the details are different. And what I mean by that is, for example, my life. So I'm not doing carpool, and I'm not, making lunches, packing lunches and going to PTA. But what I am doing is, I currently operate a consulting business. I have what was supposed to be a hobby that I couldn't keep as a hobby, and I turned it into a full-blown art-based business to inspire people to be creative. I work with corporate clients, and I also am launching this Journey to There, which is my absolute, probably most favorite thing of all the things I've ever done. And I have a husband and two puppies. And I am so committed to having a quality of life. But all that being said, no matter whether it's my story or your story or someone else's version of our story, it all really comes down to one key. And that one key is that you have to take one step today. And yes, that may sound simplified, but the key of the success in anything really is just taking A, the first step, and then also giving yourself the permission that it might only be one step today. And if you can get that one done, A plus, right?
Absolutely.
And then looking at the whole, you know, you're going to have a strategy. You're going to have a process to get from A to Z. Most people think about XYZ and they completely lose sight of B, C, and D. So they have this great idea and then they go all the way out to the XYZ and they literally discount how important it is to just do one thing a day, two or three things the next week, and build on that foundation, because once you get that forward momentum, then you really, it's an energetic thing, if nothing else.
Right.
It will propel you forward.
Now, I'm going to say, in essence, I would have to think a lot of women listening right now, believe it or not, can relate to you, even though they might be saying, well, you know, she doesn't have any kids and she's not, you know, a soccer mom and all this. However, the way that these listeners can relate to you is the fact that where, you know, listener A might have three kids and is trying to build up a business of her own, you, with everything that you are taking on, whether your three kids are three divisions of your business, you're still dealing with that same, I would say, hurdle of time, ability to commit. So there is where the relationship is very much the same. However, the one difference I'll give those women, and I'll give myself, the fact that, you know, my kids, their kids, they need to be fed. Your businesses need to be fed, but you know it's not going to be as dire if you decide, you know, you have, let's say, division XYZ that you're, you know, trying to grow and launch. If you say, you know what, it's any day of the week, it's Tuesday, and I'm going to put that on the back burner for today so I can focus on this. I can't do that. I can't tell my kids, you know what, you guys, you're just not going to eat today, and I'm not going to take you to school today because you guys are on the back burner. So there is a good relationship. However, I understand the differences and the frustrations.
Sorry, I'm laughing because there's nothing about what you're saying is funny, but I keep picturing that commercial where that baby's in the crib and the guy comes in and goes, yeah, Dave, I'm sorry, I have to take a sick day today.
I know, like, exactly what you're talking about.
Parents do not take sick days. No, and you are correct. And here's the thing that I would say in response to kids, no kids, career focused, even if you're trying to launch a nonprofit or just manage a huge fundraising project for your church. I mean, everything about any of these details can be overwhelming. And this is where the choices lie. And what I mean by that is that you really need to step back when you feel that sense of overwhelm and identify the triggers, what it is that's causing you to feel the overwhelm, determine which ones are absolutely real and in your face, i.e. feeding children or making sure, you know, things are taken care of before you have to get on a plane to go be out of town for business for a couple of days.
Right.
You have to look at, are these the real things? Yes, these are the absolute drop dead, can't negotiate items. And then there are the items that are negotiable that you use any kind of excuse, and I'm treading lightly on the subject, but I've just seen it happen so many times where the procrastination is identified as the reason, but the person really believes that the reason is that these are real hurdles that they can't overcome. And that's where I work on a deeper level with my clients to have them talk through those things, because, I mean, the biggest person we can kid is ourselves.
Absolutely.
I mean, so identifying that, and really, I think what I've seen the most growth occur as working with entrepreneurs over the last 10 years is even giving them the tool that I just mentioned, which is to hit the pause button and say, okay, wait a minute, like, do I really need to push this off until Friday? Or do I, A, not want to deal with it? B, am I afraid I'm going to get it wrong? my perfectionism is going to kick in and I'm just paralyzed with fear.
Right.
I mean, there are just all these criteria that sometimes if you can go through this checklist on your mind, you might realize, you know what? I am sabotaging myself. And time, we all get the same 24 hours. We literally all get the same 24 hours. But our challenge is most often not how we spend the 24 hours, but what our brain tells us how to spend the 24 hours.
Exactly. And our brains do have to be rested because, you know, that's my biggest issue is sleep because, you know, I want to do all the tasks, have all the fun. And it's like, oh, you know what? I got to squeeze in some sleep as well so I can be refreshed in the morning. We're coming up on the close of the show. And what I want to ask you is, what can we say or what can you say to sum things up going back to the basics of the topic, the beauty is in the beginning?
Well, you know, there's no question that today in today's society that it's all about instant gratification. Things can be easily replaced, disposed of. My printer crashed today, and instead of trying to fix it, I'm going to just get a new one.
Just throw it out the window.
It literally is a disposable society in a lot of cases without emotional impact. And what I would like to reframe is beginnings, whether they're starting your business, whether they're a major life change in your personal life, whether it's a breakup that you weren't expecting, that's still a new beginning. And choosing to look at those new beginnings as a positive step forward and then being able to look at and really make a commitment to pledging to yourself that whatever the new beginning that has been presented to you, see what the possibilities are in those beginnings, take that one step. And I guess the thing that I really want to get across that I'm so heartfelt about is appreciating where you are in the process, because the frustration about not being big enough, far enough, good enough, I should be doing this faster. You know, if you can just even eliminate the word should, you'll be better off. But just release that frustration that things aren't happening fast enough and that attachment to instant gratification, and just appreciate and savor the moment of the beginning of any of your journeys.
Right. Now, the good thing in all of this is I did not have to take an opportunity on this show to tap into my feminine side, but I'm sure you're going to, you know.
Strap in, my friend. Yeah, strap in.
I'm sure there's some shows to come. And mind you, I have no problem with that. But anyway.
Pardon the pun, but this is only the beginning.
Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba, and we are your hosts of the Journey to Their radio show. And we hope you have found the beauty into what we've got going on here, which means we will look forward to you joining us for the next episode.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.